Hey everyone, my name is Jules, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text The River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support The River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you were blessed by today's message.
If you have your Bible, let's turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is where we'll be. Super important that we all open God's Word together. So if you have your Bible, open that. If you have your app, open it up, whatever you have. If you don't have a Bible app, you can download the River Church app as well. And the ESV is there. That's what I read from each week as well. But I want to be able to read each week. I read the psalm in its entirety, and then we will dig into it this morning. So I've got 40 verses to read, so I'm going to dig right in. All right, here we go. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil, for the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and the needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the day of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. And they are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine, they have abundance. But the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. The wicked borrows but does not pay back. But the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old. Anybody identify with that part? Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good. So shall you dwell forever, for the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree. But he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Mark the blameless, and behold the upright. For there is a future for the man of peace. But transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this Psalm of David. Thank you for his heart. Thank you that he was a man after your heart. And God, I just pray that as we dig into this morning, Lord, that you would just use it for your glory and our good. That God, we would hear your voice above all the noise of all the things that might be trying to draw our attention away this morning. God, help us to hear you. Help us to point our eyes and our hearts toward you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in the mid-20th century, Wang Mingdao was one of the most influential Christian leaders in China. He was a man of uncompromising faith. But when the Cultural Revolution swept through the country, Wang was arrested for his refusing to merge his church into the state-controlled apparatus. He was thrown into a brutal prison camp and sentenced to life. For the first few years, Wang did exactly what Psalm 37 warns us not to do. He fretted. He looked around at his captors, men who mocked God, used violence, and seemed to hold all the power. Meanwhile, Yang was starving, isolated, and freezing. He became consumed by bitterness and anxiety. The injustices of it all ate at him. In a moment of intense weakness and psychological pressure, he finally broke. He signed a confession, denied his faith, and was released. We're going to get back to his story later on in the message this morning. How hard would that be? You know, I think about that situations like that. Like, suppose I get into that situation. Would I be able to endure? Would I be able to not fret? Would I be able to stand under that kind of pressure? And David talks about the fact that he's fretting and people are can fret. I mean, this is David. It seems like a psalm that he wrote when he was older now and has a lot of wisdom. This is what's called a wisdom psalm. He's imparting wisdom, almost reads like a proverb in some ways. And so he's imparting his wisdom to the reader. But I got to thinking, what in the world does it mean to fret? Because David talks about not fretting against evildoers, but another good translation of this would be, do not get agitated. Don't boil with anger inside. All we have to do is watch the news and get angry inside, right? At everything going on. Can you say gas prices? Whatever you want to look at right now. We can boil with anger inside at so many different things. We can fret. Because David's not talking about outbursts of anger that happen in our lives. He's talking about that anger that just lies underneath. It dwells in our hearts unseen. It's just kind of there. It's when you stew on something and it takes over your thoughts. You get worked up. It's not fair this is happening. But this isn't just about wrongdoers or evildoers too. This internal anger can begin just by looking at social media. Really, this internal angst begins when we begin to compare and to desire something from uncontentedness. The commentator put it so well. Comparison inevitably leads to coveting. That's why David immediately says, do not envy those who do wrong. Envy is the feeling of discontent when we want something someone else has. If we allow envy to germinate in our hearts, it leads to competition. The anger and agitation then eventually leads to harm. It leads us into working to get what someone else has, comparing, coveting, and competing combined to form a deadly process. It's a process that will pull us away from a godly and content heart toward worldliness. It manifests itself in so many ways. We see it when a teenage girl tries to live a pure, modest, and holy life, but watches as other girls who walk in immorality and modesty get all the attention. When a businessman chooses to balance his work and family and walk in ethical integrity, but then watches as a coworker sacrifices his family, cheats the company, and gets the promotion. When a college student doesn't cheat on an exam, while those who do cheat get a better grade and don't get caught. There's 1,000 ways in which this manifests itself in our hearts. But this deadly trap and this pull toward worldliness are most often subtler than that. When we get on social media and see a family, a house, a spouse, a life that feels so much better than ours. At that moment, comparing begins. This is exactly where David tells us to stop. Stop at the moment we begin to compare our lives with someone else's. Don't be agitated by evildoers, David says. Don't let these thoughts enter your heart and your mind. Stop them immediately and avoid the pull of worldliness. So what about us? What do you do when someone else gets what you wanted? When you want to be married, but there's just no prospects right now. When you so desperately wanted to be pregnant and you aren't for some reason, when your friends are having babies. When you want to get ahead financially and you see others doing better than you. When someone else gets the promotion that you are absolutely more qualified for. Someone has a better car, a better spouse, a better house, a better wardrobe, making progress in their life. When you feel stagnant, what do you do in those moments? Do you fret? This is hard, right? This morning is one where the rubber meets the road. This morning is one where we live. It's going to hit us right where we live. And I got to tell you, this week, man, this verse hit me between the eyes and laid me out. So join me, will you? Laid me out this week. It's because the enemy really knows how to get his people. He knows how to get his people. He knows how to discourage you and make you fret. Disappointment has a way of resetting our progress in an instant, doesn't it? We think things are changing, we think things are moving forward, and then reality hits. And in a moment, we go from feeling capable to feeling entirely inadequate. And emotions come to you in those moments. Frustration, anger, bitterness, maybe despair. Why even try? This just isn't gonna happen for me. I'm not good enough, comparison with others, and kind of just wanting to turn inward and circle the wagons. I've had some of those emotions this week. I have. And that after experiencing an awesome weekend with Kylie, our oldest daughter. Last Saturday, she graduated from Cornerstone University. She's got a degree in ministry. God's using her and working in her heart in many ways. And it's just, God has got great plans for our daughter. And we are just so excited for what God's doing with her. Got to watch Sydney play soccer this week and enjoy some time with Jeannie's parents. And so there's all these good things happening. And then the week got busy this week for me. And wham, hit with reality. It got me disoriented. I got my eyes off of God and onto a situation, and I fretted this week. But the next day was the day that I studied for the message, and God lovingly met me as I read his word. And so, like I said, this one's for me, and maybe this is for you too. I know we struggle with fretting. I hear it. I see it on social media. And so God reminded me of all this, and I'm going to remind you of it too today. David says here, what does fretting even get us? In verse 8, he says, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. Fretting only leads us away from God, my friends. It only takes us away from him. It doesn't take us to him. It takes us away from him. It leads us to anger, bitterness, backbiting, strife, stress, broken relationships, and inward thinking. It leads us directly away from God. And yet so often, our natural tendency, I wouldn't say so often, flat out, our natural tendency is to fret, is to say that's not fair, is to I deserve better, or this, or man, I wish I had that. That is our natural tendency. So what do we do when we start to fret? I'm glad you asked that question this morning. Because David gives us the path in the next five verses after verse 2. Because the first thing we have to do is actually in verse 2, and then he goes on after that, because we have to understand that God sees the bigger picture. He has a plan. Those that are evil will fade away. The situation that you're in will not be final. It doesn't have to define you. It's not your ending. It's simply part of your story. My father-in-law always likes to say, success is not final and failure is not fatal. But this statement, which is attributed to Winston Churchill, goes on to say, he says, it is the courage to continue that counts. It is the courage to continue that counts. And I would add, according to Scripture, that it's what we're about to learn today that will sustain you when you fret. See, the first thing he says in verse 3 is he says, trust in the Lord and do good. And so the first step in this process when it comes to fretting is we have to go back and trust the Lord. What a phrase, trust in the Lord and do good. It's both. It's both. It's not just sit back and say, God, I trust you. It's like, God, I trust you, and I'm going to act on it. I'm going to act on that trust. I'm not just going to sit here and say it over and over again. I'm going to act on it because I don't feel myself into actions. I act myself into feelings. And God, I'm going to trust you in this moment. I don't know the answer. I don't like what's happening. But God, I'm going to trust you anyway because you're what I've got. and you're worthy of my trust. We have to trust the Lord first. Because in these moments, is God actually trustworthy? Your life probably won't look like anyone else's. But here's the thing, when we trust God, our lives won't look like anyone else's. It won't. But we have to trust him first. Have you placed yourself in the arms of the Almighty, really? I had to step back and ask myself a question. Josh, do you really trust the Lord? Do you really trust him? And God took me to some verses, Jeremiah 29:11, one of my favorite verses. Well, many of us know it, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Isaiah 64:4, from of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No one has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed in us. So I thought, after I read those, it's like, do I really believe this? Am I really staking my life and my trust on this? Will I wait on him? And I ask you the same question, will you wait on God? And whatever the situation you're fretting about, will you wait on him? He will act. But I have to ask you another question. Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior yet? Have you really trusted him? I'm not talking about just praying a prayer one time and saying, God, I don't want to go to hell. I'm talking about, have you given your life to Jesus Christ this morning? Because he really died on a cross for your sins, because the wages of the payment of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because I believe in this room, there's at least a few people here that have not yet given their life to Jesus. We can say a lot of things well. We can talk about a lot of things. But have you trusted? Have you given your life to him? No more excuses. Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? We could grow up in church from the time we're born till we're 50 and still not know Jesus. I don't care if you've been to church. I don't care if you've read the Bible. God wants your heart. Do you know him? Have you given your life to him? Have you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? That means you've given him control and believed in your heart God raised him from the dead. That's when you're saved, Romans 10:9-10. If you haven't done that today, you can do it right where you sit. He loves you. He is trustworthy. Give your life to him. It's the first thing you got to do is trust your life to him. And if you have questions about that, I'd love to speak with you, to speak with somebody at guest services after the gathering this morning. Let today be the day you trust God really. For the first time as asking him to be your Savior, or for the 100th time because, man, God, I forgot how to trust you and I got to come back with whatever I'm fretting about. The second thing he says in verse 4, he says, and this is probably one of the most quoted verses in all of Scripture. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Oh man, if I just delight in God and if I raise a hand in church and if I read, you know, if I do some right things, then man, he's gonna give me that Tesla I wanted. And yet that's what we think the equation is. If I delight in the Lord, I'm going to get what I want. And in doing it, we actually try to use God. And none of us really want to admit to that. But when we read that verse, that's probably the first thing we think. If I delight in him, then I'm going to get all my desires. Like he's the cosmic genie in the sky. Phenomenal cosmic power. Space. And yet that's not at all what this verse is talking about. Because here's the thing. If you delight in the Lord, that means he's not your one thing among many things. He is your one thing. And you know what? He grants that desire. Because it's the best thing we could ever desire. Is him. Not more stuff, not other things in life, And it even says in Jeremiah 29, 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I'm going to propose something to you this morning. If you're not hearing from God, it might be because you're only giving him 99% of your heart or less. All your heart, you're going to get all of him. He promises that to you. And when you delight in the Lord, he's your one thing. Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Not him plus how life goes. Not him plus your family. Not him plus your possessions. Not him plus your career. Not him plus your financial security. Not him plus the other desires of your life. It's him and him alone. It doesn't mean you don't have other things that concern you. But your main thing is God himself. Your delight is in him first, not the other things first. Because when that happens, the other things change. The other things change. Because when our eyes wander off of God and away from God, we go after cheap substitutes for him. We decide to delight in a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a spouse or our kids, a promotion, a bigger bank account, and that becomes our delight. C.S. Lewis says it like this: it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a free holiday at sea. We are far too easily pleased. We are pleased by our little mud pies that we're making. When God says, I've got a 5-star cruise that we're always service filet mignon or whatever your thing is. That's what God is, times a million available to us. Our desires for what we want are not strong enough, because if they were strong enough, we'd want God above it all. Especially when we fret. Especially when we don't understand. And we heard last week, Psalm 27:4, one thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I had to ask myself even more questions. What is this situation revealing in me? Are my delights disordered? Am I pursuing something that is other than God? Why does this matter so much to me? Why does it even matter at all? I propose to you, we have to ask ourselves these questions. What are my desires revealing about my heart? Why do I want this thing so much? Is it because I think I lack something? And then I had to remember, and I say it to all of us, we have the best thing in the world we could have. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And he gives himself freely to us. When he is your greatest longing, he becomes your joy and your greatest delight. Love this next verse. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and what? He will act, David says. But the word for commit here literally means to roll. To roll. It's rolling that fretting over onto the Lord. It's rolling it into him. To roll your burdens onto him and let him carry them. He says, commit all your ways to him and give them to him. He directs your paths. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Proverbs 16:9. The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Do I really trust that God is working in my life? Do you really trust that God is continually working in your life? Do I trust his plans for my future, for what I'm trying to control? Because let's be honest, when we fret, we're trying to control things. We're trying to control something because everything else seems so out of control. Am I committing my way to the Lord, or am I trying to get him to do what I want? Am I really trusting God, or am I saying, God, just rubber stamp my plans. Because what happens when we commit our ways to the Lord and trust in him? David says he will act. He's always working. No matter how you feel or what you see around you, he's always working, and he's already working for your good. We've read that in Jeremiah 29 today. And as you point your life at him, he brings forth the righteousness in your life. He uses you for his glory, and he works for your good. God will bring justice at some point in his time. In his time, when the time is right. Because remember, he sees the big picture. And finally, he says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. My friends, this is where we get the cart way before the horse. We ask God to bring peace in our situations in life, and we want that peace right away. What David is saying to you here is that peace doesn't work like that. After you have trusted, after you have delighted, after you have committed, then you're in a place where you can be still before God. See, we want that peace right away. We have to make a choice to trust. We have to make a choice to delight. We have to make a choice to commit. And once we do, then God's peace comes on us because we've chosen him above what we're fretting about. That's how this process works. I mean, doesn't that make sense? God, even though I don't know what's happening, God, I will trust you with this. God, even though I really want this to change, even though I want this thing so bad, I choose to delight in you first and seek your face before even this thing. God, I know how I want this situation to turn out, but God, I will commit my way to you, Lord. I will humble myself. I will trust you and that you will guide me into your way that's best. Even if it's different from what I want, I will trust that you will act in some way. And once you've done those things before the Lord, it just makes sense that peace then comes. It only comes that way. Because as you wait on the Lord, now you can be still. Now you can be still. Commentator put it this way. Satan will try to get in our head. He will tempt us to get angry when we see a godless person with something we want. Then he can trick us and catch us. Be still. Wait patiently. Don't get angry. It's not the end of the story. God is in control. And so I had to take some steps back, and I heard God ask me, are you willing to wait on me, Josh? Will you just be still? I literally kind of felt him say, Josh, will you just be still? I'm not always the best at being still, especially in my thoughts. Josh, will you just be still? And rest. And I don't know what you're fretting about this morning, but I want you to hear God ask you the same question. Put in your name and say, your name, will you just be still? Because we can wait on him. And he will always act. He will always act. Psalm 46:10. I don't want to get ahead of myself because that's next Sunday's message. But be still and know that I am God. Back to the story of Wang Mingdao. The moment he walked out of those prison gates after getting freed, he realized that he'd been fretting because of evildoers. They had driven him to a worse place than the cell he was in. He wandered the streets of Beijing weeping and shouting, I am Peter. I have denied my Lord. Realizing his mistake, Wang did something astonishing. He went back to the authorities, recanted his forced confession, and essentially handed himself back over to prison. He was resentenced to life. But this time, something had changed inside of him. He stopped looking at the power of his captors. He stopped trying to force his own rescue. Instead, he decided to practice the core of Psalm 37. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. Be still, therefore, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. For the next 20 years, Wang Mingdao sat in a cell. To the outside world, the wicked had won. The regime flourished and Wang was forgotten. But inside the cell, Wang was at total peace. He spent his days praying, praising, and secretly memorizing scripture. He realized that the triumph of the wicked is like grass. It looks green today, but it withers tomorrow. And in 1980, after 22 years of imprisonment, Wang was suddenly and unconditionally released. He was an old man, but his faith was radiant. When Christian leaders from around the world finally managed to visit him in his small apartment, they expected to find a broken, bitter victim. Instead, they found a man overflowing with joy. One visitor asked him how he survived those decades of injustice without losing his mind to bitterness. Wang smiled and quoted a truth straight out of the heart of Psalm 37. You must learn to wait on God. Young people are so impatient. They want the sunrise at midnight. But God works in his own time, and his timing is perfect. So let me encourage you today. Set your delight on the Lord. Set your delight on him. It's the only way to not fret. The only way. It's about trusting and committing as well, but this happens when we delight in him. He's our main thing, what we lean on when we're tempted to fret the most. David says we have to refrain from anger in every situation and give up our wrath about what is happening. Why in verse 8? Because it leads to evil. It only leads us to evil. Our fretting leads us away from God in every situation. We have to become meek and rely on God to guide us. And then we delight in abundant peace, David says in verse 11. Abundant peace. It doesn't mean the things you're worrying about don't matter. That's not what I'm saying this morning. In fact, it means they matter so much we have to give them to the one that can hold them the most. It doesn't mean these situations shouldn't change or that they never will change. Your concerns are real, but what it does mean is that you're going to place God above them all. It means that you choose to trust, to delight, to commit, and perhaps most importantly, to be still. Psalm 37:16, in this passage, better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. My friends, the little we have in God is better than what anybody else has outside of God. Do we believe that this morning, my friends? Do we really believe it? And I'm going to tell you this morning, don't give me an amen just because it's the way it is. Give me an amen if you want to because you actually believe it and you want to live it. Because we talk about this stuff all the time. And when the rubber meets the road, we forget it immediately. Do we really believe that what we have, the little we have in God, is better than anything else we could desire? I'll confess to you that in my moments this week, it was not. But God always meets you in those moments if you'll listen for his voice. Yes, he will. And he doesn't come to you saying, haven't you got it yet? Even though that's how I feel. 47 years old, I still haven't figured it out. Anybody in their 80s figured it out yet? Don't raise your hands.
57 haven't figured it out.
All right, yeah. And then the toughest question came to my mind as I was spending time with God. Do I really want God to have his way in my life? Or do I want the plans I have for my life? I can't have both. Can't have both. We sing songs all the time. God, have your way in me. Really? Really? Psalm 37, 23 and 24. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. When he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I either trust God to have his way or I want my way more than his. This is true for all of us. My friends, what will you choose today? What will you choose every day? Because it's not a choice you get to make in the next 5 minutes and it's going to stick. Because in 10 minutes, you're going to forget. Psalm 37, 49 to 40. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them. Why? Because they take refuge in him. God is your stronghold. He is your refuge. And I go back to last Sunday and Psalm 27, 13 to 14. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Not next year, not in heaven, but I'm going to look at it today because I can see it because he's present in my life. I believe I will see it. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. So I tell you this morning, wait for the Lord. Wait on him today. Please don't hear me say that what you're fretting about, what is so deep in your heart, this desire that you may have, is God doesn't care about it. Couldn't be further from the truth. He cares about it too. That's why he says, give it to me, because I will take it and make it more than what you could ever ask, dream, think, or imagine. This is the God we serve. This is the God that loves us, who set his love on you. We serve a God who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. A God who establishes our steps. A God who handles the wicked, rights wrongs, and holds our hand through the middle of the mess. So what do we do when the phone rings this week and tries to reset our progress? What do we do when the enemy tries to steal our joy and pull us into the trap of worldliness and envy? We stop comparing. We stop coveting. We stop competing. And instead, we look to Jesus. We trust in the Lord and we do good. We delight ourselves in him until he's the only thing we want. We commit our way. We roll our entire lives onto his shoulders. And then we sit back. We take a breath. And we just be still. That's what David tells us today, and that's what God is speaking to us today. You don't have to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders this week, church. You don't have to. You just have to take refuge in the one who holds everything you're carrying already. Stand strong. Let your heart take courage and watch the goodness of the Lord show up in your life. Set your delight on the Lord. And don't fret. You are held. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the so deep wisdom of your word. God, thank you for meeting me this week. Thank you for how you've met people in this room this morning. Lord, our natural tendency is to set our delights on so many different things that pale in comparison to you, and yet we do it continuously. Thank you for meeting us with the heart and the hand of a good, good Father. Thank you for loving us. Give us the strength to trust you. Help us to point our lives toward you and delight in you first and foremost. Give us the courage to commit our ways to you. And then help us to just be still so we can hear your voice. That is a still, small whisper. Because that's when peace comes. For anyone carrying a heavy burden today, God, I pray that they would lay it before you. Is anyone here today that has not yet called on your name as their Savior, God, I pray they would do so today. And not that it would just be another prayer that they pray, but that, Lord, this time it's actually something they mean and they want you more than anything. And they understand who you are. And they make you Lord of their life. God, help us to stop chasing cheap substitutes for you. Lord, we choose to delight in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.